Football is back. Practice is going on. We're going to react to news and notes from practice. A couple big injuries, a couple big players are back. We're going to get into it, including a little bit of snippet on Wisconsin's potentially new explosive offense. All that and more today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ryan Herring, your host of the Locked On Badgers. Thank you for making this one of your first listens of the day, every day. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And football is back. Justin Jolka joining the show, longtime friend. And we're going to react. We're going to have some fun. Look at it. He's excited. It's hard to get Justin excited sometimes. So we're going to get into it. And Justin, I got a list of things to react to. Again, we don't have a ton, right? Media was able to see 30 minutes of practice, but there was a lot of good stuff
going on.
Yeah, a lot of stretching, right? No new schemes that we saw, but I thought there was a lot of interesting tweets and just positional movements, injuries. So we're just going to go down the list and we're going to react to, we might not get through it all, but this is kind of the list of things I thought was interesting. We're going to get through what we can get through, react to it. Justin, are you excited? Football's back.
Yes, I'm ready to roll. I mean, honestly, My year revolves around, we're past the off season. What's going on that I can focus on for the next 9 months or whatever it is until football season starts again?
It takes so long to get back to football. Yeah. Yes. So let's start here. I wanted to start with this quote. It was on Twitter in a couple different spots. Wisconsin players saying they'll attack the whole field with Ingram. One player even said, quote unquote, air raid. Your reaction?
I think that when it comes to passing concepts and scheme, I think that there's things to be pulled from every type of offense. Whether we're going to use them in the same way that they get used in like an air raid scheme, like you may pull some principles in the way they do things to open things up out of the air raid philosophy without actually running an air raid scheme. And I think that's kind of what's being discussed here. We have things that we're pulling out of the air raid that we're like, this is a smart concept that is very effective. We've seen plenty of other teams run it well. So I think it's a good idea for us to grab it and run with it and see what we can do with it.
Yeah. I mean, let's start with, I talked to you offline about air raid with kind of a chuckle, like Wisconsin is not going to obviously run anywhere close to an air raid, but I think your point is solid. Right, you can take bits and pieces from all sorts of offenses, and quite frankly, there's a lot of good concepts in the air raid to get receivers open that Wisconsin could probably benefit from. And this is the first time where we've really seen players, and the player who said this wasn't named, but where you really see players talking excitedly about some of the differences that Bobby Ingram is probably bringing to the field. The other thing they said were they're going to attack the whole field, and I think that's something that Wisconsin has failed to do, both vertically down the field and horizontally stretching the field out with smoke screens, receiver screens.
Well, yeah, we've discussed that before. That's one of the things that has frustrated me to no end is not throwing the wide receiver screen. You go back to the 2010 Ohio State game against Wisconsin, and we used that play a lot against them to open things up. I think we were getting like 10 yards a pop with, you know, Toon off the edge, throwing it out to him on there. So, I mean, that's a play that for whatever reason we stopped using, but to me is an easy throw for the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, hey, we pride ourselves in our blocking wide receivers. We should give an opportunity to do it in the passing game from time to time.
Agreed. And there's some explosiveness at the position too. I really like hearing that quote. We're going to see obviously what happens. The other little side note, I was thinking about this before. I like the fact that our new offensive coordinator, Bobby Ingram, is a receiver. Right, there's something about that makes me feel like he's gonna really value that aspect of the game.
Yes, he's gonna I mean, all we've heard about wide receivers our whole lives is, you know, how much get me the ball.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that you have a guy there whose thought process is let's attack and get it to these guys.
Yeah,
these are our weapons.
Let's remember we have receivers on the team.
We've heard before, and this was brought up on one of the message boards that I like to frequent. Somebody made the comment that Baltimore uses a lot of actual air raid philosophies in their passing game, mesh concepts, things like that. So that's a good comparison there for Wisconsin. Wisconsin can definitely run similar things to what Baltimore was doing. They were limited at wide receiver. They were more of a run first team. What they don't have is the mobility at quarterback, but the passing scheme itself is something that the Badgers can look at and say, hey, there's a lot of things here that we can incorporate.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. All right, let's move on. Aaron Witt, still on a scooter, apparently had a setback, timeline unknown, missed so much time. Again, not a ton to dive into here, but just what a bummer for a guy who everyone seems to think the sky's the limit. I mean, this is a guy that people talk about like he's a future NFL dude, and he just can't get healthy.
I think it's time we send him to Germany with A-Rod to get his leg out right.
Yeah. A-Rod's got some techniques, man.
Or we just go bionic. Let's just give him a robotic foot.
Yeah, it's such a bummer, man. And again, not a lot more to say there other than what a shame. This one is interesting to me. So Riley Malman, it's been reported, is moving over to right tackle. That was reported on the local media day. I think it's really interesting for a couple reasons. It's interesting because Malman is a highly, highly thought of guy, right? 6'7" frame, really young, but really, really high upside. And him moving makes me think that they're looking at him as a starting spot this year. But it also begs the question, what happens to Logan Brown, right? The former five-star guy was practicing at right tackle. I think it's really interesting. What are your thoughts on this one, Malman moving over to right tackle?
Well, the way I look at it is, this is Bob Bosa, that he doesn't care about your ego if you're a lineman. And my thought on it is he looks at his depth chart and he says, okay, this guy has starting level ability. I'm not going to waste him as a backup if I think he can start at another position and a position that we're weak at. And I don't think Logan Brown has grabbed that position and run with it. So I think that that is a position that you feel quite strongly that there's a solid above average chance that Malman's going to steal right tackle.
Yeah. Which means let me run this five across for you for the offensive line. Cause I think it's looking like, well, we know Nelson's the left tackle. Yeah. Like we know that
he's happening. A lock there.
He's a that's lock there. Anymore. And we know there's probably some type of battle between Logan Brown and Malman at right tackle. And then you have Fertney, Tippmann, Beach, Bortolini somewhere in the middle.
Okay. It's going to be Beach at left guard. It's going to be Tippmann probably at center, and then probably Fertney at right guard.
And that's where it looks right now. Like Tippmann is the number one center. Bosted has Bortolini at number two. That's a really strong potential five, right? Tippmann is really good. Beach is coming back for that extra year. Nelson we love. There could be a lot of fun there with that road grading group.
Here's what I'll say about Bortolini. It would not shock me to see them put him heavily at center in fall camp, but then kind of as we get closer to the season, have him kind of branch out a little bit more into the guard positions because I think he's talented enough that they'll look at him as somebody who can be the swing player on the inside and potentially push Fertney during the course of the season. So as long as he has everything down where he can play center at a high level if he has to move there, I do feel comfortable that Bosted might be like, hey, this is a guy that can push either guard spot. Let's go ahead and see if he can challenge. And to the best player goes the position.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bortolini is really good. Yes. And I think he could start on a lot of teams. And I'm not saying – and so could Fertney, I think. I think Tippmann could as well. Beach could. So
this is the strongest line grouping that I've thought in probably the last 3 or 4 years.
And then you look at some of the players behind him, like Trey Wettig was a big-time four-star tackle, right? There's a lot of talent still right behind that group. And quite frankly, if Riley Malman is the right tackle, it wouldn't stun me to see, not this year, but next year, Logan Brown moving into guard because he's a big, powerful guy. All right, let's get into the next one.
Run blocking is his strength too. So
absolutely. Like you put him in more of a phone booth. You know, Tyler Beach talks about it. It's just easier here. I don't have to worry about that quick
less
step
to think
that
about,
setup. Yep. I just move people, right? Which Logan Brown can definitely move people. We've actually seen
he's
that in
absolutely
games.
Destroyed guys.
Yes. So I'm curious in, you know, you need him to stick around the program, right? We're in the era where that doesn't always happen, but I think that could be a future. Coming up, we have a ton more to get to. We're going to talk about running backs coming back and a potential devastating injury at tight end. We're going to get into all that on Locked On Badgers as we continue this show. But first, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar remains your number one source for all your nutritional needs. It is my go-to source. I have the reoccurring buy on Amazon. I've talked about that. I'm all about the churro. They sent me the birthday cake one the other day. It's really good. It's tasty. It's delicious. It doesn't sit in your gut like a candy bar. Bunch of protein, 17, 18, 19, 20 grams of protein. You want to put some muscle on like Justin, you know, you got to get that Built Bar going, get to the gym and bring the Built Bar with you. Throw it in the backpack. It's easy, simple, healthy, delicious, nutritious, checks every single box, everything 100% real chocolate, low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. You're not going to regret it. And with Lockdown, we have a great value for you. Head to the website today, built.com, promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15. Promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15, 15% off your order at built.com. I really want to thank everyone again for making Locked On Badgers one of your first listens every day as we continue to talk Badgers. Everything's heating up. We're continuing to build the community. Bring Justin back in here. And Justin, let's go to the next one. I think this is really good. Malusi and Isaac Grendel, Ches Malusi, Isaac Grendel, both back, both practicing 100%. Malusi talked about, I feel great. Grendel talked about feeling really good. This is great news considering where both of those players were last year and really the upside of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, Malusi is a – I don't want to call him a 1B because I think there is a little bit more of a step down for him to – from Braylon Allen. But Braylon Allen is a freak show. I mean, he just mm-hmm. is. He's a top five running back in college football. Malusi is more of a above average college running back, mm-hmm. which is still very good. It's just he's not as dynamic as what you're getting with Braylon Allen. Now, as a number two back, you're loving it. Because he'd be a strong starter on anybody else's team. And now you have a guy who can be that change of pace or, you know, give a breather to a guy so he doesn't get as banged up as he did last year. Because, I mean, we all thought that Braylon Allen was kind of beaten up by the end of the season and definitely didn't need that many carries.
For sure. No, he was definitely done by the end.
Grendel, I honestly, I have no idea what to make of that. I have yet to see enough in-game from him to know what he is. I mean, the last thing we remember was watching him take it 80 yards for a touchdown where mm-hmm. he just blew by everybody. There's some flashes there of things with him, with his vision and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, maybe this guy has something. But we've never consistently been able to see him on the field to know really what he is as a player.
Yeah, he's a total X factor, right? When the college football Athlon and all the preview magazines come out and they list every team, this is the coach's take on this team, and this is the X factor, right? Mm-hmm. Garendo's an X factor because he's a 220-pound sure. dude with track speed. Mm-hmm. Like he's a, you know, what he reminds me a little bit of in both his physical ability and his speed and his size, Tevin Coleman, when Indiana had Tevin Coleman. And
that's not a bad comp.
He's not that good. Like Tevin Coleman also had more agility in the hole, but
yeah,
you know, I remember those.
He's a guy that if you get him in space and he gets a step,
he's gone. And I remember those Indiana Ohio State games, like, Ohio State couldn't catch up to Tevin Coleman, mm-hmm. and Grendel is that type of athlete, right? Mm-hmm. And he's in a position where he's not going to get 10, 12 carries with Braylon Allen mm-hmm. and Ches Malusi, but he could get 4 or 5 impactful touches. This is why I think this is such a big deal.
When you have a guy like Braylon Allen or Malusi in the backfield and you do some things with Grendel, the focus just isn't on him. And he's not a guy you can lose track of with that kind of speed. Yeah. Because if you're a step late with him, you're just not catching him.
You can absolutely imagine a jet sweep, a screen, a wheel route, right, where you get action.
Where the linebacker backside. Gets sucked in off the edge and doesn't come out there.
And then has to try to run with Grendel. I'm so excited to see. It's nice sometimes to get a fresh set of eyes, like Ingram's a fresh set of eyes. If Grendel can stay healthy, he's going to break 4 to 5 to 6 50-yard plus plays this year. I'm pretty confident of that.
I don't know if it'll be that many. That'd put him towards the top of college football, but I could see 2 or 3 for sure. Those 20-yard chunk plays I'll take from him all
maybe,
day. Though.
Maybe I should say 20, but I think you're going to see a handful of big plays from him if he stays healthy.
He'll definitely be a guy that bolts around the corner and picks up 20, and the safety has to catch him or be the last.
Yeah,
you know, or he's gone.
No, I'm very excited for it. Maybe we unleash him in Columbus, right? Week 4, maybe. Maybe give the Buckeyes a little bit of a surprise there. All right, moving on. Tight end. Last year, and really the last couple of years, tight ends have been decimated by injuries. You know, last year, Dakovich, and Eschenbach, Cundiff, Pugh, Large. Everyone's back healthy this year, .. except Cam Large went down with the right leg injury. His right knee is what he hurt last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like it was the same injury again.
Yeah, so two-parter here. How do you feel about the depth at tight end now that everybody sans Cam Large is back and healthy? And how big of a loss is Cam Large? Like, how high were you on him?
Well, I will say this. In terms of depth, I have no idea what we have for depth. Fair. I know we have more bodies there. I don't know what any of them will do in terms of an in-game scenario.
I think we know Cundiff a little bit, right?
Yes. Yeah, Cundiff, I think, is a legit player.
We know him a little bit.
Eschenbach. We didn't use him that heavily, and he played a lot last year.
Yeah.
But then again, we have one of the better tight ends in the Big Ten, so he wasn't going to be the focus. Pugh, I would love to see breakout. You know, if he comes in as a guy we start messing around in the passing game, putting two tight ends out there that are receivers, I would love to see them mess with some of that. Cam Large, to be quite honest, I think he was our second blocking tight end. If it wasn't him, it was Dakovich. Yeah. So I think the way I look at it is I liked the guy when he was coming in. It seems like from a receiver, like there, I remember seeing some footage of him a year, I think it was last year before he got injured, where he looked a little, he didn't look as fluid as some of the other guys at the position in the receiver and was a step slower. Now, that's not to say that he wouldn't have been productive. I do think he's probably a great blocker, but I don't know if he's really was going to see the field this year. That being said, there's a lot of potential reps that he's missing out on between practice and everything else that next year he probably would have an opportunity.
And you do have Hayden Rugge, obviously, as the blocking tight end.
Yeah, so he's the guy for sure.
You still have that earth mover there. So, yeah, when I'm looking at the tight end depth chart, I keep saying you can't be that unlucky again. And, of course, the first practice, right, Cam Large goes down with a leg injury. I like a lot of the bodies, though. Like, I think there's a good mix of athletic bodies. We didn't even talk about Jalen Franklin, who gosh only knows if the coaching staff will ever figure out how to use a hyper-athletic, you know, in tight end. But he's still there as well. I mean, JTC Greaves is coming in. He's probably obviously not going to play behind a bunch of bodies, but
he's got to put on about 15 pounds.
Right. I think there's a lot there. Assuming we always get decimated by injuries again, I think you're going to see a combination of Rucci, Cundiff, and a few other bodies mixing in. I think that'll Eschenbach, be pretty good.
Yeah. Franklin might get in there sparingly for certain sets.
Yep. I think that'll be a pretty good set. All right, let's move here. I wanted to talk about the receivers a little bit. Dean Ingram, there was a couple clips. Again, I've already said this, but we're going off like 30 minutes of media availability and like two or three.
Three plays.
Right.
It's like, these are the two plays that worked out.
And I analyzed them from every angle for 17 minutes, FYI, you know. But I do want to bring up, I think you can still glean little bits here and there, and obviously we're diehards with this. Dean Ingram made a couple nice catches, or a nice catch, and there were some reports that he's looking pretty good at receiver. Where does Dean Ingram actually fit into this receiver group, though, when you look at a top four of Marcus Allen, Keontae Lewis, Skylar Bell, Chimere Dike? I mean, we're not going air raid. Like, how many receivers are catching passes this year?
I think, here's the thing. None of those guys have a set spot.
Well, Chimere does.
Yes. Yeah. He's the only guy. I feel like the unfortunate thing is that Ingram is kind of fighting for the same spot as him. Now, if you're going to bump Dike to the outside and use Ingram in the slot, which I think he could be very good at, then yeah, he'd do great. I don't know. I'm not necessarily sold on him on the outside, heads up on a corner. I mean, we saw the footage that if you watch that film where he beat his man deep, that was a safety. So, you know, will we be seeing that from him when he's on a corner? Hard to say. I mean, corner should be able to stay with him a little bit better. That being said, I do think that there's a lot of talent there for Ingram. I like him as a player. It's just we don't really know what he is. We know he was a good corner and probably would be our nickelback this year if he was stayed on defense. So he's got talent. The question I have is that there are a lot of bodies there, and it's how do you keep everyone happy and what are we going to do to do this? Because there are legitimately four or five guys who actually deserve the ball. And I doubt we're going to get everybody to like 30 catches, but can get like some of those backup guys to 15.
It's going to get tough, right? Because then you talk about the tight ends we just talked about too, you know.
And that might be the position that ends up losing some of it.
It could be.
We're not going to have a tight end that's going to have 40 catches this year. It's going to be somebody that ends up having 25 or 30, and we end up having, you know, more wide receiver catches off of this because we're going to have, you know, more three wide sets and stuff like that.
Well, and keep in mind, Stephen Bracey's healthy too. That's a guy we liked and who just hasn't been healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got speed. He's got very much speed. He's probably the fastest wide receiver we have. Well, before pre-injury was the fastest wide receiver.
I mean, listen, we've seen him take a kickoff to the house, right? Like how many and guys on the roster? Fast. Yeah. Oh yeah. He outran, that was the Nebraska game, and he outran Ingles. Like, so you have right there, there's six receivers we talked about. You know, so it's interesting. The other interesting thing with the receivers to me is Marcus Allen and Bell both came in last year and flashed as true freshmen. You know, so there's always a big jump from that initial taste of college football to that next year. They can make big jumps, and suddenly you're talking about a top three that's really interesting. I wanted to ask you this, and obviously not going to hold you to it, but I'm going to hold you to it. Rank the top four receivers in terms of receptions next year.
I'm going to say
no tight ends, just receivers.
Yeah. DK.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that second one's tough.
Right.
I'm going to say, I think we saw a lot from Kiantas Lewis in spring, but I'm going to go with actually Marcus Allen. And then I think Skyler and then Kiantas Lewis.
Okay. Yeah. I'm mostly with you. I think Chimre is the obvious one. That's yeah. simple. And then I think it's Marcus Allen, Dean Ingram.
And I wouldn't, that would not shock me at all.
Listen, I think the coaches, got some the offensive coordinator's son like is catching some passes. Let's just be real. Right. That's happening.
Well, and if he does something good, you know that he's going to keep getting opportunities.
Yeah, let's just be real here. You know, Coach Ingram's son is getting some rocks thrown his way.
Unless he's going to get knocked down because, you know, dad doesn't want any nepotism claims.
Right, we'll see. I think either way, I think that highlights the fluidity of that position. Yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out. One more here before we go to another quick break. The Badgers, listen, Justin, you and I on our previous show, offline on this show, we've talked about the painful search to finish the recruiting department, right? To fill out the recruiting department. Mm-hmm. There's seven people listed in that department now. It looks like an actual full legitimate recruiting department. It's
two of them are janitors, are they?
I don't think so. I didn't double check, but there's graphics people. There's seven people, which is more than we had with Saeed Khalif, right? Mickey Turner's heading in.
I think we maxed out at four there.
Yeah. So listen, long road here, full of what I think we would both agree were an unnecessary weight, but I think we're there now. Now it's just a matter of how good they are.
Yep. And right now they've got their work cut out for them. We've got to find some offers because there's not much on the table right now. So we got to find some people that we think are quality players. Now, whether we're going to wait for some senior year film from kids or what, I don't like being put on that kind of timetable tight, especially if there's teams that have already developed a relationship with a lot of those kids and we're just jumping in cold.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. I think this year's class is always going to be built on a foundation of some termite-laden wood, right? Like, I just think there's holes here that the recruiting department just can't fix. It came together late. There's a lot of new coaches.
Here's the point that I want to make, and Ryan and I agree on this. Us saying that this isn't a good class has nothing to do with the players that have already committed. We like the guys that have already committed. What it does is say there are holes that are not being filled in this class that we feel like need to be filled. And I think that that's kind of where people get upset when you talk negatively about the class. And you and I think both agree on that the problem isn't necessarily like there's some high end talent that we'd like to see, but there's also positions that we're not being seen fortified that we feel are major issues that need to be dealt with.
Yeah. I mostly agree with that. Like I've always said though, that, and I said this early on and people got a little up in arms, but I said this, people have to prepare for this class not being a super strong class. And part of that's because there's not a great in-state class.
Yeah.
Like some of that, there's no coaches can do anything about, but you're also bringing in players, our coaches,
I feel like
Al Johnson and Bobby Ingram, though, that
to an extent that feels like a cop. That feels like
that's not a cop out for Wisconsin, though.
No, but well, hear me out on this. We're still recruiting roughly from our footprint, which is we basically traded Wisconsin for Illinois this year.
So our in-state recruiting, that's not a good trade for Wisconsin.
And no, it's not. But I'm saying we've grabbed five or six players from Illinois this year, and we normally would have like two.
Sure.
So we've kind of, you know, circumvented the system a little bit and went with, all right, we don't have a strong in-state class, so where can we make up some of that ground? We grabbed it from Illinois. So what we're missing is that we're not hitting on high-end players like we have in previous classes. And by high-end, I mean guys that are challenging for four-star or are four-star players. Now, that is where in-state, I will admit, none of the Illinois kids that we grabbed were four-star kids. And so that is kind of the negative. We've grabbed some good talent from that state, but nobody's been really a lock type player like a Herbig we've gotten in previous classes where it's like, this guy's going to be a stud.
Like that guy was Tackett. Yeah, that was the guy. But I would say again, like, I don't think it's just the in-state thing. I think it's a bunch of new coaches coming in as well who don't have
recruiting ties. That part I think is the biggest deal.
I think that matters. And I think it's a recruiting department that literally just came together.
You have a bunch of guys who, to be quite frank, haven't been really recruiting, you know, or have been recruiting differently. Like Johnson was recruiting Division II, completely different ballgame.
Yep.
That's not to say that he's not a good recruiter. It just means that he is not used to recruiting in this style compared to what he saw at that level. It's just a different ball game. It just is.
The new inside linebackers coach, DeNorfio, yeah, has been out of football.
So Bobby, we have a bunch of guys who have not been used to the grind and are getting their feet wet again. So it's going to take them some time to get, you know, rolling and figure out what works for them again and everything. Because the landscape of football, being out for a couple of years, that's like a lifetime with what's happened in college football and recruiting the last couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. All right, coming up on Lockdown Badgers, a couple more lightning round questions, things that were thrown out there that we're going to react to with Justin Jolka. So that's coming up next on Lockdown Badgers. All right, coming through here, we're going to finish up here, Justin. A couple more, a little quicker lightning round stuff. I tried to prioritize the things that I think were really interesting. Players coming back from injury, big injury, offensive line. But I did want to talk about Al Ashford is practicing with the safeties. And I laugh because, like, here's the thing. It's Al Ashford has physical tools as a 6 foot, 6 foot one guy with 4.4 speed. That's hard to find, right?
It is. So very.
He came in as a corner, went – if they're already moving him to safety, the thing is they probably don't see an elite corner in him. Otherwise, they wouldn't move him. I don't think that means he can't move back to corner. But I'm saying if he was flashing what they would consider elite level ability at cornerback with that speed and size, they're not moving him to safety.
That or he is rawer than they thought. And they felt like with the bodies that were ahead of him, it would take him a couple of years to get there. He had a better opportunity to pick up safety, which is possible too. You know, maybe they feel that safety has got a less of a learning curve and they figure that he would be better there where he can just let his athleticism play rather than having to focus as much on technique, you know, man up on a guy.
It's possible. And it's also possible they move him back to corner when the transfers leave. But again, I would say if they really think his future's at corner, knowing that you have 3 to 4 people leaving next year, I think they would leave him at corner to get those reps because I'm going to lead into
I don't disagree.
I'm going to lead into the next point here. And you and I talked about this previously, the safety spot. Suddenly that spot has been pretty fortified, right? You have Latu, the transfer, Toller's back on the roster, Zachman's back, Cade Yacomelli. Now these are younger guys, but they've added a ton of bodies to that spot to mix in with Hunter Waller, Torchio.
And to be quite frank, a ton of athleticism.
Yeah. Oh, big time athletes there. Maybe honestly, I didn't think about this. That's a great point. This is probably the most athletic group that we've had at safety. Not the best. And we've had more athletic safeties like Jamerson, for example, or Desmond Southward. That guy was a freak show athletically. But when you talk about Waller, Austin Brown, Cade Yacomelli, Al Ashford, now you're adding that frame back there. You know, that Titus Toller, if he's back to where he was, that is a really, really athletic group.
Comparison for you. Ashford, it could be Jamerson a year earlier moving to the position.
Sure. Sure.
So there's potential there for him to be that type of player at safety. They're similar profiles. I think you'd say Jamerson had slightly more speed.
Yeah.
Not a lot. It's pretty close.
Like Ashford's probably bigger.
Definitely bigger.
Like 5'11".
Rangier.
Yeah.
So he fits what you were looking for a guy to be a rangy center fielder type if he's got the ball skills. So I guess we'll see.
Sure. That's going to be an interesting depth chart next year, right? Because all of those dudes are coming back.
Yeah, there's going to be I'm going to be just blunt. There's going to be a lot of movement. We're going to see guys moved out of that position. They're going to see whoever catches and whoever's left, they're going to move to positions where they think they have more opportunity.
All right, a couple more quick ones for you. No Isaac Ham on the roster. That's been talked about. Wait and
expect
see.
Him later. Yep.
Yep. Hopefully he gets on there. 4-star defensive end, outside linebacker. No more knee brace for Curtis Neal, one of our favorite recruits from last year's cycle. And quite frankly, a defensive lineman, they don't get if he didn't have that knee injury.
We talked about the kid from California. Was it Ashton?
Yeah.
How happy Ashton he Sanders. Looked all the time.
Yeah.
That's who Curtis Neal was last class.
Yeah.
He was that guy, the guy with the constant, that's
a great point.
You know, that he's just has that charisma about him. Like, he's the guy who's always happy that everybody else is kind of feeding off of. Those guys are so valuable in football because it's such a grind. Having those guys that have that infectious happiness to them makes such a big deal to a team.
Yeah, and a big-time talent, like a player that Wisconsin probably doesn't get.
He's a tree stump.
Yeah, he's going to be really good.
Quick, short guy that's going to really, really irritate an inside lineman.
Agreed. Last one here. So one of the graduate transfers this year, Vito Calvaroso, the Arkansas cannon legged, you know, kicker. It's going to be a competition with him and Nate Van Zelst for kicking duties. Nate Van Zelst started off as the redshirt freshman, started off as the number one. This is super early in fall camp. Mm-hmm. It's going to shift. But just a note that Vito did not start off as number one, and Nate actually went 3-for-3 on the kicks they saw. Either way, this team desperately needs better special teams play, right?
Oh, yeah.
From the punt return spot to the field goal spot, like, it's really hampered this team recently.
Yeah, punting is about the only thing we feel good about. Mm-hmm. Place kicking, we just need somebody that we can feel confident in, and from, I would say, 45 in.
45, I would say, yeah, like, it's tough, right? What's a fair range to say we expect to be confident? Because 45 for a college kicker feels like...
I don't think it is. Like, if you're kicking, like, watch the NFL. Most of those guys are kicking 40. No, I'm saying they're kicking 45 to 50 is the range. In college, I feel like it's more like 38 to 45 is the range for the most part, for most of their field goals. Maybe. I mean, that's the range where they seem to start to struggle. And you need somebody that's going to consistently somewhat hit from that. And when I say consistently, I'm saying we need 65 to 70% from that range.
Yeah, I would say we need to feel better from like 42, 38, right? Where it's even that has felt very sketchy recently.
Yeah, like, and that's what I'm saying is in that kind of gray area. We need guys that can consistently hit that. We're not going to find a guy who's going to be drilling them from 50 yards out consistently.
No.
Unless you're looking at a guy who you know is going to be an NFL kicker.
Well, Calvaros has got the leg for it, but we got to see if the accuracy's there. He's definitely going to be the kickoff specialist. He's got some
John Hall to him.
Yeah, so we'll see if the accuracy's there, if it's just going to be scattershot, but definitely something to keep track of. Justin, man, thank you for jumping on. Kept you for 31 minutes so far, a little bit over where we usually go, but I really appreciate it. A lot of stuff to talk about. I want to thank everyone else for tuning in as well, Lockdown Badgers. We got a bunch more coming up. Fall camp is going on. A basketball trip to Europe. A ton of stuff happening. Yeah. So continue. Yeah, we got to talk about that too.
Yeah.
Continue listening to the show on Wisconsin, and we'll talk more later.
All right, later.